Falcon was finishing lunch at Campbell and Hatch's saloon as they passed, and he saw him out the window. He threw a couple of banknotes on the table, grabbed his hat, and strolled outside. He stayed well behind the Herbs and Doc Holliday, keeping to the boardwalk. He was curious to see how they would handle the threat. They turned left on 4th Street toward the OK Corral. Falcon stepped around the corner, and he could see Ike and Billy Clanton and Frank and Tom McClory out in front of the corral at the corner of 3rd and Fremont Streets, standing by their horses.
You boys surrender your weapons, or you're under arrest.
We don't want any trouble. Throw down your guns.
Billy Clanton and Frank McClory drew their guns, and Doc shot Billy through the chest. Then he turned his shotgun on Tom and put a double load of buckshot into his chest, killing him instantly. Ike began running down the street.
Don't shoot! Don't shoot!
Wyatt allowed him to pass. Suddenly, Frank shot at Doc, but the bullet hit his holster and ricocheted into his hip.
Damn it.
It was a minor wound. Doc whirled and fired his Colt, hitting Frank in the forehead. Billy, Frank, and Tom lay dead. Virgil had a bullet through his leg, and Morgan was wounded in both shoulders. Wyatt was the only one unscathed by the fusillade of bullets. In the aftermath, Falcon noticed movement out of the corner of his eye from the alley before him. Johnny Ringo was in the shadows, aiming a rifle at the Earps. Falcon pulled his derringer from his boot and stepped up behind Ringo, placing the double barrel against the back of his head.
I don't think I'd do that if I were you.
Ringo dropped the gun and raised his hands.
Now get on your horse and get out of town. There's been enough killing here today.
Ringo glanced back, hatred in his eyes, then sprinted down the alley toward his horse and jumped into the saddle. Ha! Ha! Falcon put his derringer back in his boot and went to help get the wounded Earps to a doctor. Doc pulled out a silver flask and calmly took a deep swig.
Much obliged for the help, McAllister. I myself may need special care, but only the kind Kate Elder can provide.
Tipping his hat, he walked off toward his room over the photography shop. Lamplight spilled out, framing the outline of a man with a rifle. It was too much for Naiche to resist. A perfect shot. He thumbed back the hammer on the Spencer. Chicole glanced over her shoulder, then she shook her head, asking him to wait until they were closer to the cabin. Naiche ignored her, his blood pounding through him. He sighted carefully along the barrel until he was certain he couldn't miss. The man in the doorframe dropped his rifle, clutching his belly. He staggered forward a half step. A second bullet ripped through his skull in a shower of blood, bone, and hair. Another figure dashed to the doorway with a rifle. Chicole was ready. The second white man let his rifle fall and reached for his throat, never firing a shot. Two more white eyes foolishly rushed outside directly into the line of fire. Coley rose up in a crouch to rush the door. Others joined in as Naiche began running behind Chicole toward the cabin. He would enjoy torturing the survivors, especially the women. A boy less than 16 years old lay on the blood-soaked dirt floor of the cabin, holding a mortal wound in his side. Naiche stood over him, his knife poised above the white-eyed skull.
This is Apache land.
Blood sprayed from the torn scalp lock as Naiche held it high, showing it to Chicole and the others.